Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show. Let's set the scene, Chris. It's dark. It's very dark in here. You have the light down to an alarmingly low level.
Oh, yeah.
The majority of the light actually is being provided by two candles that are sitting on the table where we record.
Cinnamon passion fruit.
Yeah, yeah. I can smell the guava in there. It's real.
It does.
And it's real windy out. So it's a dark and windy night here in the studios of those Damn Ross Kids. Us Damn Ross Kids. It's dark.
Very dark. Like the things we're going to talk about.
Happy New Year.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number, I don't know.
58.
Of the internet comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
I'm so happy that you say internet comedy podcast.
Why?
It's as opposed to the comedy podcast that is distributed analog outside.
Well, you can listen to it from the website or you can download it as a podcast. On like a mobile device.
I go, every Tuesday I go about the town handing out wax cylinders of our comedy show. It's just funny how that redundancy has worked its way in. I'm criticizing. I'm tearing you down from limb from limb, Chris. This is an important precedent to set here in our first podcast of 20 dozen.
You're into that whole brevity thing.
Speaking of that, my name is Cole Ross, and you are?
I am Chris Ross.
And we're here to entertain your asses with our internet, comedy, / podcast, punctuation jokes. Chris, hit me with a story.
Frosty the Snowman has been kidnapped and is living the high life with his captors while his family waits anxiously at home. Francis Frostman, the Christmas decoration, was taken from this hanging post on the veranda at the Murley family's home more than 1 week ago. He had taken up the spot for the past two seasons. His captors have sent photos to the Murleys of Frosty living the high life. He has been motorbike riding, go-kart racing, sunbaking, and knocked back a few drinks at a local bar. Sarah Murley, who is the matriarch of this home, said her four children were missing Frosty and wanted him home for Christmas. Saturday night, he went out dancing and did a piano duet with someone at a local pub. She said it was likely that the jokesters knew the family or Frosty's routine.
His routine.
When he goes up and when he comes down.
Okay.
Said he was likely taken because they felt sorry for him, being that he was the only Christmas decoration on the house. I wanted to save him from a life of being packed in a box 11 months a year.
No, that's good. That's altruistic. That's taken it to the next level, I think.
Francis Frostman, nothing. That's what they named him. That's not me. I didn't make that up.
No,
that's real.
Yeah. No, I suspect the heat miser.
The family even made a video to persuade the captors to return the Frosty the Snowman guy.
What do you put in that video?
Please.
Is it just a 15-minute like static shot of the post with like wind whipping by in the back? You have to give these guys points for creativity and for being genuinely good humans. It's good form. You take something from somebody. You say, hey, I'm taking good care of this, right? I'm going to kidnap your kid, but I'm going to send you, weekly updates on his health and well-being. And,
I don't think this story's real.
No, you don't?
Do you
think this is an onion?
No, it's not an onion.
See, okay, here's the thing I've noticed recently. Say onion.
Onion.
I've noticed people from around here, when they say onion, they say it U-N-G-Y-U-N. Onion. There's no G in it, folks.
Oh, you want me to say it like I say it?
Say it like you say it.
Onion.
Onion.
Onion?
Onion.
Onion.
Can I have some onion rings?
Onion.
Onion.
Onion?
Onion.
Onion.
Just kidding. We're bringing our snowman back. Well, speaking of words, Chris, can I share with you a new list? I'm a big fan of lists. They're presenting things in sequential order by you know, item.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The Lake Superior State University of Michigan published their annual list of words and phrases that are to be banished, Chris, banished, from the English language for misuse and overuse. Can I share with you some of the entries here, and we can respond to them in turn?
Thank you in advance.
See, I use that one.
I do. I know, because you're a pretentious jerk off. I've already thanked you, so now you have to do it.
Did you have the story?
No.
No, but you saw it?
No, I just hate that you say that. Exactly. And I thought it should be on the list. Is it on the list?
It's on the list.
Amazing.
Really? What? No, you read this story.
Yeah.
I okay. Did. All right. No, I do say it. I do say it. And then, you know, sometimes I abbreviate it TIA. What else do you say? I expect you to do this. Yeah, I use it in official communication all the time. It's like, hey, thanks in advance. Or, you know,
you occupy that spot in my heart.
That's another one. Occupy. Yes, it is overused. This is one that resonates with me. Man cave.
That's the reason I didn't use the story, because I knew you would, because it had man cave in there. You detest man cave.
It's the worst. It's the most reductive. Man can't have his own space. Used to be called a den. Okay.
God.
Got my.
Why don't we just do a greatest of? Because you've said that like 9 times.
I hate it. It just
you hate the man cave.
It crawls up my ass like a fucking cicada. Baby bump. Not going to use that anymore.
We've used that too. Baby bumping.
Baby bumper cars.
Over the past year, we need to retire these, apparently.
I like baby bumper cars. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Just put a bunch of pregnant women into a room, blindfold them, and then do like a Star Wars trash compactor as the room gets smaller and smaller and they wander around bumping into each other, Chris. Baby bumper cars. Patent that. Chris, shared sacrifice. Can't say that anymore.
Why?
We need to make a shared sacrifice, because it was such a, you know, it's a political thing, just like the Occupy. Chris can't say win the future anymore.
I never did, because I don't live on a boat. That is only said from the bow of a small vessel.
Win the future.
Yes.
So from a banner that you hold up
while wearing a knockoff Buzz Lightyear costume.
You can only do that if you're missing two of your legs.
Well,
you know, Lieutenant Dan cursing the gods. Chris, the new normal, can't use that.
This is the new normal.
The new normal, like, oh, you know, it's this is the way it is now. This is the way shit is. It's awful.
So how are we going to say Obama's America from now on?
No, hey, you know, Obama's America, not on here. Every time
that was 2010.
Every time I, oh, really?
Yeah.
That was in 2010.
Yeah, and then we found a new way to say it by saying the new normal.
God.
And we're just going to say, shit.
I just, I wish that they would have added, thanks, Al Gore, to it. Anytime the weather's weird, and it, you know, when you hear people say that, thanks, Al Gore, you fucking dipshit. Blowback. Can't use blowback anymore. Like, ooh, Verizon experienced some blowback after they tried to do some bullshit fee. Can't do that. No, no. And finally, the biggest one was amazing. Amazing.
Incredible.
Which, awesome. No, I think awesome actually deserves to be on there more. That's the
stunning.
Most overused. Astonishing, Chris.
Stunning.
It's great inflation is what it is. It's seriously, like, if everything is awesome and amazing, you know, you're setting the bar really, really low. I don't know. I wish I need to go back through the archives and see, because I am also very irritated by the phrase bucket list. I'm going to put that on my bucket list, which is apparently a list that you curate because you feel guilty over the fact that you haven't taken any goddamn initiative. Just live your life, goddammit. Get out there. Seize the day. I'll tell you what, if you're going to pick a single, you know, Morgan Freeman movie to, you know, take inspiration from, a single line, don't do one that he did with Jack Nicholson. Do one he did with Tim Robbins, Chris. Get busy living or get busy dying. And if you tell me that you added skydiving to your bucket list and expect me not to punch you in your goddamn nose, well, I'm sorry. You're deluded. That's my rant.
Heaven Almighty love Jujubes.
Oh, God. Thank you. Thank you for that. Sorry.
You're very welcome.
I just get angry. I get worked up.
Hong Yun. Citizens in the Spanish town of Huscar? Sure. Do you see this?
No, I didn't. Right. I just like the way you say that again.
Huscar?
Huscar?
I don't know. I'm not Spanish. They've decided that they should remain blue after going to the voting polls to settle the matter. Located in the autonomous community of Andalusia, the town of 221 was first painted blue in June as part of a promotion to celebrate the release of the Smurfs movie. Whose Car was only supposed to stay blue until September, but the transition proved to be so popular that locals decided to make the change permanent. Some 80,000 people are estimated to have visited Smurftown since its makeover. The village has eagerly embraced the new role, holding events such as a Smurf Moonlight Fun Run, Smurf painting competitions, and permanently running Smurf trade fairs. There are even Smurf-themed weddings to keep fans of the little blue folk coming.
Why Spain?
No, Card Tab. I blew the whole fucking town. Remember Whose Car? Yeah, I blew the whole fucking town.
See, you know, there are disturbing social implications because they actually deported all but one woman from that, from Whose Car. Mm-hmm. One woman town. Dressed her up like Smurfette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bad news for her.
Yeah.
Bad, bad news. Man, that's dark.
They painted the church. They painted the gravestones. They painted everything blue. 4,000 liters of paint.
They tore up all the sod and replaced it with bluegrass.
You done?
I was proud of that. Can we dwell on that for a little bit?
Why don't you just cut it and loop it for a minute?
They called Paul Bunyan to see if they could borrow the big blue ox.
You laugh nervously while you think.
You found my tell.
Gotcha.
You found my tell. Mm. Why Spain? Was there any indication in the story of why they picked this particular town?
There weren't a lot of towns lined up for the thing, I don't believe.
Is this like there was a town back in like 2010 in like Kansas that changed its name to Google so that they could get like, you know, free high-speed fiber internet or something like that? Welcome to Google, Kansas. Not the Google in Missouri. So
there is one?
No. That's geography jokes, Chris.
I don't know.
There are two Kansas cities. One's in
all Canada. 200, all 211 of the people in the town who had a car had to put their keys in a bowl to promote Dude, Where's My Car? It just made sense, you know, given the name.
At the time. I don't get it.
Whose Car?
That's all. So you're saying that this town just like circles around and around?
In my mind, when I make stuff up, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. They put up walls and were reverted to 18th century customs to promote the village. We could do this all day.
The others?
Yeah, I don't like Nicole Kidman.
What lies beneath?
Isn't it, you know, what?
Toys?
What dreams may come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mystery Dream Theater?
Like the prog rock band?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Chris, today is New Year's. This is New Year's Day when we're recording this. Fun fact, we don't do it live when you listen to it. Sorry. Last night was New Year's Eve. The town of Beebe, Kansas faces a disturbing trend in its New Year celebrations. For the second year in a row now, thousands of blackbirds fell dead from the sky over the town. It was initially thought that fireworks celebrations roused the birds from their nests, and in their panic, they collided with objects in the air and died. However, it happened again this year, despite the fact that they banned fireworks, which means that the annual bird die-off is still just a mystery. Nobody knows why. They're all gone. Chris, it's the beginning of the end. Birds fall from the sky. The moon turns blood red. Old gods from the ocean, you know, start walking the earth. Colossi, Chris, wringing the blood from our bones to fuel their hate machines. Chasms opening up straight into hell. When the birds fall from the sky, Chris.
Why are they doing this?
I have no idea.
When did it start?
Last year.
And then this is the second annual?
This is the second annual.
Huh. What do they do with them?
It's a tradition.
Are they diseased?
They cook them. They cook them and eat them.
Now, are they diseased birds?
No. I mean, no. Scientists are baffled.
How many?
Thousands.
Okay.
Just...
Do they fall... behind a hedgerow and like
and that. As we wind on down the road. No.
It's a duck hunt reference, but
all right. So you say it was bustle in your hedgerow. I just want one of my bits that I miss, you know, that I haven't done for so long is the end of the world guy. I think for a while there I got optimistic, but now we can, you know, start cranking that back up again. End of the world.
Shit.
Chris, tell me a story.
Gay culture and gay history are splashing onto the coffee scene.
Oh, no.
Elbow Room Coffee is presenting 5 blends that make up the new brand. There are dark roasts such as Red Hanky Roast and Second Date. Dark and medium blends like Weekend Pass and Good Morning Mary. And a medium roast called Stone Butch Breakfast Blend. From the young blonde sailor on the Weekend Pass to the woman carrying moving boxes on Second Date, each blend sports humorously crafted artwork on the front to reflect its catchy moniker. Gay Coffee started as a casual conversation over a cup of you-know-what. The discussion centered around how gay and lesbian culture has seemingly entered the mainstream in many areas. The owner of the brand says the aha moment came when we were talking about the same-sex marriage and a friend commented on how gay culture is now seen everywhere. She said, "Why, I bet this coffee is even gay." It was a joke, of course, but it got me thinking.
So does the coffee make you gay?
No, God does.
These coffee beans are born that way, Chris.
They are, really.
I don't know.
You would think it was from...
Hey, the free market bears it. Let it happen.
It's like the same as putting a pink ribbon on soup.
Oh, no. I just thought of a special Kona blend called Pink Sock.
It's not for... Yeah. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Prolapse special.
Oh, no.
All the color just left your face.
No card tab. Cole likes his men like he likes his coffee.
Expensive and black. Is that really what you... I do like coffee. It's good. Does it say where you can buy it?
No,
it doesn't say.
Probably Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah. We don't have one of those.
Nope. Some Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's is legit.
No, there's two different stores.
Are you familiar with the concept of Santorum?
Yes, that is what?
It's the frothy mixture of semen, feces, and lube that comes out of a butt after anal sex.
Oh.
Yeah, it was coined by Dan Savage in response to Rick Santorum, current presidential hopeful.
Coming on strong in Iowa.
No, here's the thing. I've read an awesome headline, and for some reason it seems apropos. So Dan Savage, you know, named this substance, this frothy mixture, after this guy because of his awful anti-homosexual policies. This headline, you know, with the Iowa caucuses coming up, read simply, "Santorum surges from behind in Iowa." And he retweeted it. He said, "I love it." Roll with them punches, Rick. You okay? All the color left your face, Chris. Chris, calm down.
I'm good.
Chris, don't get up and leave. Don't get up and leave. Don't do that. Don't do that. Chris, last week, groups of nursing moms across the country held nurse-ins at Target retail stores in order to protest against the store's anti-breastfeeding policies. The protest took place in 35 states across the country on December the 28th, and the movement has actually received more support than they expected.
Mm. Why at Target?
Well, just because Target, like, historically is known for kicking people out, you know, for
exposing
for
their breasts.
It's blocked by a baby's head. Milk.
That doesn't matter.
Just you walk up to the clerk and say, "Hey, what? Where can I find the milk?" I said, "Aisle anywhere, baby."
I got my cock out, but it's blocked by a wheel of cheese. You can't do that.
Is it Swiss cheese, Chris?
You just can't do that.
It's a delicate issue. I agree, but I'm grossed out by anything. I'm grossed out.
It's not because I'm grossed out. It's because we don't live in huts.
It's a natural and beautiful expression of the bond between mother and child.
Oh.
I say this on an intellectual level, but if I saw somebody whipping that, breast milk of all sorts, is mucus. It is a nutrient-rich mucus that is excreted from the body.
Oh, well, then it's fine.
That's gross.
That's what you were hoping for, right? As I just say, okay?
No, that's not what I was hoping. I was hoping you would freak out.
I'm going to give you the facts that are unrelated.
Okay.
Ready?
All right.
That's what you just did to me.
No.
It doesn't matter. Expose yourself. I don't care what's coming out of it.
I get grossed out when people blow their noses in a store. It's like, you should go into the darkest room of wherever you're at, sealed off with foot-wide cement walls, and like, I'd say at least 15 vault doors, like the opening of Get Smart, to perform any kind of bodily function. It should be.
I don't know. I just don't think you shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
Take your pieces and parts out.
Yeah. What if your penis is really hot?
Hmm.
Ugh, it's so
what
hot.
What if my butt's full of Santorum?
Full to bursting, Chris. Full to bursting. Chris, tell me a story.
Oh, God. All right. This is actually an article about a television interview that was about an article that was about an act. Okay?
Did Charlie Kaufman guest write this note card,
was rough,
Chris?
It was rough. But the end product is that there's a little bit of information at the beginning, and then there's he said, they said.
Okay.
All right. He being the person that perpetrated the act. And now weeks later here, everyone's like commenting. Okay. So you have the whole story. An Indianapolis, Indiana man who police said drove up the steps of the Indiana War Memorial draped in an American flag and carrying a gun called in and told the local television station that he was trying to spread the message of Jesus Christ. Daniel Whitaker, 49, admitted to pouring gasoline down the steps of the memorial and lighting it on fire November 22nd, leading to a tense standoff with the police. In the call-in interview, Whitaker said, "What I was trying to do with whatever I had was to try to get everybody to stop and think of Christ and his ways and to be nice to each other and love each other." This is the they said. Whitaker, brandishing a large book and a blue pole, pulled a handgun from his waistband at one point during the standoff, police said, prompting officers to hold him at gunpoint. Whitaker, this is the he said. "I said, if you come and join us in Christ, I'll lay my weapon on the ground."
He was holding the town.
Three of the policemen,
hostage.
He said, three of the policemen were brave enough to come up, and I put my weapon on the ground, and they gave me a hug.
They said.
Whitaker mooned police before he threw his.
Keep going.
Whitaker mooned police before he threw his gun down the memorial steps and was tackled and taken into custody about an hour after the incident began. funny. Perspective's funny.
Chris, was this a publicity stunt for the new Rashomon movie?
I have no idea.
How
did I have to look for this? Why wasn't this presented to me?
On a silver goddamn
this
platter.
This is over a month and a half ago this happened.
What?
Yeah.
Why did...
Why have I not heard about this?
Christine, further details have come to light.
After I saved the policeman, Whitaker Moon then and threw his gun down the steps.
He said, they approached and showed me God's light. They said, we tased the fool. Oh, God. You ever laugh so hard that it feels like you just took a big dump? It's like a full body relief kind of thing?
Mm-mm.
No?
Was that good, though?
Should I check my pants?
Mm-hmm.
Did you make that up?
No, that's
no,
real.
No, no, for
I
real.
I couldn't have made that up.
No, I on second thought, me by asking that, I gave you way too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this man's an American hero. Can we create an award to give him? The Those Damn Ross Kids, you know, Golden Crow?
Wonder if it was a Festivus poll.
A blue poll. It has to be. It has to be the Rashomon. Oh, God. Dropping literary references left and right, folks. Kurosawa? Yeah, that's it. I got this. Hey, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Can I take you to... Wait for it. Wait for it.
Boom, boom. Yeah, go ahead. Do it, do it, do it.
That's the chamber opening.
Do it. The window's closing. Do it.
The window of your acceptance, Chris. Oh, every year a group of scientists gets together to give out the opposite of the Nobel Prize, the Ig Nobel Prize. These are given out to scientific discoveries that defy the label of asinine and are just plain weird. Of course, this is right in our wheelhouse here at Those Damn Ross Kids. So I cherry-picked the three best examples of the most absurd scientific discoveries. We actually talked about a couple of these before, but these are the ones that we missed. The year in review, okay? For biology, an Australian researcher determined that the male Australian jewel beetle is attracted to brown beer bottles due to their color and texture, which looks like the female jewel beetle. Upon seeing a discarded bottle, the male will attempt to mate with it for so long that many beetles die of exposure to the sun. It's going freaky on that litter, Chris.
How big are these beetles?
They're like, you know, that big, like about an inch.
So they have a lot in common with tiny, skinny white men.
I don't understand.
Think about how much bigger that bottle is than the beetle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, no. Just fucked to death on the side of a road, Chris. That made me sad, actually. Okay.
Why? They're bugs.
Chris, for the Peace Prize.
Oh, you like B-movie. I forgot.
Don't you dare besmirch my name, Chris. Don't you dare. You should be ashamed of yourself, Seinfeld. You should be ashamed. Chris, for the Peace Prize, researchers determined that needing to pee can have a tremendous effect on your judgment and your decision-making. Now, you had a story about this. Are there any details that I'm missing on that?
They discovered that the need to go to the bathroom is as distracting as having a 0.05 blood alcohol level or major sleep deprivation, including staying awake for 24 hours.
I believe it. It seems pretty obvious, right? If I have to pee, I'll do anything to not have to pee anymore. Same thing when I have an erection.
They said cognition remained relatively normal until the point where a person absolutely positively needed to go to the toilet. At that point, the level of impairment exceeded those levels and they couldn't function any longer. They just drove their car into a bridge.
Chris, piss panic. Piss panic. And finally, the Ig Nobel Prize for Chemistry was given to Japanese researchers who determined the amount of airborne/aerosolized wasabi necessary to wake a sleeping person and used it to patent the wasabi alarm, which, you know, is number 5 on the menu, to rouse people in case of emergency. House catches on fire? No, you don't have to worry about inhaling smoke. You have to worry about inhaling this wasabi gas.
That cylinder of pressurized wasabi. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. That just reminds me. It was a couple of years ago. We were sitting in my car, and you pulled something out of a bag, and you handed it to me. I said, "Hey, Cole, put this in your mouth." And I was like, "Oh, it looked like almost like cashews. I like cashews. Cashews are good." Popped it in my mouth, and it was the most heinous, awful thing in the entire world. You slipped me wasabi cashews. Didn't I leap from the car because it was parked and like spit out? And actually, I do like the rub my tongue down thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a fucking cock.
You just kept saying over and over again, "Why did you do that to me?"
I did. It was a funny story. Hey, Chris, tell me a story.
We're going to stay in the science zone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can put more, you know, money in the meter. That's fine.
Neither antidepressants nor talk therapy were able to outperform inactive placebo pills in a new clinical trial on depression treatment. Though there were hints that the effects varied based on people's sex and race, researchers report, the findings published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry add to evidence that people receiving real depression treatment in studies, from antidepressants to St. John's wort, often do no better than people given a placebo. A recent review found that a minority of antidepressant users even fared worse than placebo users. Note card. Sugar makes me feel okay.
In your head. In your head. Yeah, no, it is. Where is my mind, Chris? I don't know. It's up there. In the sea. No.
What was the second part?
What?
Was the second part Moby Dick and the first part was the Cranberries?
First part was the Cranberries and where is my mind? It's a Pixies song. Used at the end of the Fight Club film when the buildings are coming down. You know, it's a good song.
I didn't realize that.
No? It's a Pixies song.
Zombie.
No, that wasn't used. No, I mean, I was thinking about this.
You. No.
Were you imitating Forrest Gump talking to his principal?
No, that was actually who sang that.
Forrest Gump sang
that? Little kid Forrest Gump.
Little kid. Oh, he sang You Ought to Know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Isn't that the same song?
In
the...
Would she go down on you in a theater? Would she, Chris?
What song is that?
That's You Ought to Know.
Oh, Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. Alanis. What the fuck?
Atlantis?
Atlantis Morissette.
That's not her name.
You know.
What is her real name? Alanis.
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette. That Alanis
sounds,
Morrissey.
That sounds Canadian.
She is Canadian.
Oh, that's why.
The myth is that You Ought to Know is about Dave Coulier.
What?
Yeah.
No.
She was dating Dave Coulier shortly before she wrote that, and they had a noted bad breakup. This is myth. I mean, I haven't checked Snopes on this in a while, but yeah, she was like 17, and Dave Coulier was, you know, at the time, you know, on Full House. A lot of crazy stuff happened on Full House. What? What's so funny?
I don't know. My brain's moving.
I think we just revealed that I know more Alanis Morissette lyrics than you do.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's ironic.
Could you... Shut the fuck up. No, could you stop playing with your index cards?
Why?
Because it makes awful noises into the microphone.
She entertained me and then I wouldn't be fidgety.
Should entertain. When's this going to be over?
Oh, shoot. There's this article, and you got to look it up, because it was way too long, and I don't even know. It was like ExoPolitico or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's got these two guys who apparently say that they met Barack Obama in like 1980.
Okay.
At a class being given to... people who were going to be part of the Mars missions, the secret space program, or DARPA or something like that.
Okay.
In the 80s, where they actually used jump holes to transport people to primitive dwellings on Mars. And Barack Obama was one of 12 teenagers at the time who was actually sent to Mars twice.
primitive dwellings?
Yes, that's what they called it in the article.
From the
they called it primitive dwellings.
From the ancient Martian civilization that was scoured from the surface in the sunstorms of four millennia ago?
I have no idea, yeah. But that's the thing, is that when he was a teenager, that's why there's so much mystery, which explains what happened to Jesus between 13 and 31. But...
Chris, I will not abide you making a Dogma reference.
I don't know.
The worst Kevin Smith movie. And I realize that a lot of, you know, what growing up in America these days means, like, you're officially an adult when you find Kevin Smith juvenile. And then you're good.
I don't know. But it was weird.
Of course it's weird, Chris.
That was weird, but look it up. It's good. Chris,
these ancient colossi that dwelled in the shadow of Olympus Mons, you know, the tallest mountain in the solar system.
I also learned that
it's got to be hiding something there.
I also learned that based on survey, the country or area that likes the U.S. the most is the Ivory Coast.
Like of
like 90% of
Africa.
Yeah, like 90% of the people there like America.
Huh.
Yeah. That's whereas cool. Only 76% of Israelis like America. Seriously.
76%. That's still incredibly high.
Oh, well, yeah. They started at 89 and then they worked it down.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
They settled on 76.
Chris,
they lowered the percentage.
Chris, organizers of the multi-state Powerball lottery have decided to raise the price of lottery tickets from $1 to $2 in an attempt to make the jackpots bigger. In response, there has been an outcry against the price hike, with people claiming that higher-priced tickets mean that poor people will be less likely to win.
That's gentrification.
Chris, I'm going to leap across this table. I'm going to leap across this table if you keep making Kevin Smith references. I will not abide it. No, sir.
Which one was that from?
That was from Chasing Amy.
Yeah, it was.
Listen.
I'm just proving you know, too.
I know. I went through a phase. Don't worry. I went through a phase. No. Just if you play the lottery, you are by default a poor person. It's a regressive tax on the poor.
I play the lottery when I have a dream that I'm going to win the lottery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
I now think less of you.
Once a year, I have that dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. It's just ironic that we claim to fund education with something that relies on people not knowing about statistics.
Oh, they know about them.
Do they?
I choose not to believe them.
Oh, okay.
Like condoms.
My Powerball, Chris. Yeehaw. Gonna win big. Yeehaw, Chris.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, that onion hot.
That onion
hot.
Chris?
Hot. All that flirting on Facebook is leading to a sad but hardly surprising outcome. Divorce.
Okay.
I never know how to read colons. One third hyphens either. Of divorce filings based on unreasonable behavior, citing Facebook, and such filings are up by half over the past 2 years, says the law director from Divorce Online. Hyphen. People contact ex-partners, and the messages start as innocent but lead to trouble. If someone wants to have an affair or flirt with the opposite sex, then it's the easiest place to do it. The most common Facebook-related grievances: spouses writing flirtatious messages or appearing in photos that reveal a breach of marital trust. If you are complaining that they have a drinking problem and they have posted statuses about going out to the razzle, I don't know.
Did the writer of this article expect us to know about
that
his local?
Could be used.
His local dive bar.
Going out on the razzle. Going out on the razzle.
I mean, is that another way of saying putting on the Ritz?
I don't know.
No.
Abe,
young Frankenstein.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So be careful what you post on Facebook.
Gee, that is such an unexpected outcome. When there is a public forum that offers a permanent record of everything that you do on it, people get in trouble when they act like dipshits. That is amazing.
Hey, that woman you're poking in full view of the world, that's your wife, right?
God. Oh, that's the title. That's you've broken this day. You're a poet, Chris. You're a modern day poet. You know? I gotta say, you're the Bob Dylan of the podcasting world. No. I decided my New Year's resolution, I wanna be the guy who gets
super... You already are. I wanna be the guy. The guy. In his place and time.
That guy.
I want to be that guy.
I want to be that guy. No, I want to be the super creepy guy who just trolls Facebook, waiting for pretty girls to change their relationship status from in a relationship to single, then like that. I just want to like that.
And then immediately change yours and send it from sleepy to rapey.
No, I just want to go around. Pretty girl breaks up with somebody, like, because you can do that, because you can like and comment on stuff, and it's the most hilarious thing in the entire world. because like all of their friends will be like, you know, frowny face, and why?
That's that, great. That jerk. That's great, stranger. He didn't appreciate you.
Girls' night.
If you were mine, I'd lock you up.
Oh no. No, I think this gets at the heart of why I don't use Facebook, and you know why I think a lot of nerds especially don't, because Facebook is where ex-girlfriends live. Don't do that. Don't go there.
You could move in right away. I'd make you sandwiches and bring you water. I treat you right.
I treat you like a princess,
like a basement princess,
like my own little personal private treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You hit enter, and all of a sudden, outside of your brrr. Yeah, in some jurisdictions, that's probable cause. Mm. So don't do that. Don't do that. Just be smart, folks. Everybody can see you being creepy and nasty on the internet. And stop posting about how much you love your fucking kids. We get it.
I'm so happy Gavin survived his third heart surgery. Who the fuck cares?
Create a group about it. Why don't you?
God. You know what that... You know what? When you post that, it should go in the family section.
Direct that only to your family.
Not in the taking up my day section.
not in the, oh, now I need to think about this.
Oh,
for
God.
Even a, for, I need to waste one single
like
cycle.
Like I needed that burden.
I need to, like, one single cycle.
The burden of your problems.
And hey, how about this? Your profile picture? How about a bus shot? Just you, shoulders up, smiling into the camera in front of a nice background. You know, just that. Here's your face. This is me. You may recognize me. You may not. And not a picture of your kid. Not a picture of you smooching your hubby. Not a picture of you smooching your girlfriend or, you know, in a group shot. Like, ooh, which one is it? I don't know who this is. That should be mandatory, Chris. When I'm president of this internet comedy mm-hmm. podcast, that's going to be a rule.
Mm-hmm. But for now, you know why? But for now, it's my show.
It is your show. It is your show. I can't argue with that. Mm. I can't argue with that. Did you just vomit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Let's clean that up.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, Chris, what can our listeners do?
I hate doing this.
Okay, I'll
you
do
gotta,
it.
You know, you go to the you go to the Facebook and you type in Those Damn Ross Kids and we come up. You can leave a comment there. You can, you know, friend us.
Follow us, like us. We have a new fan. His name's Daniel. You live in Germany, Dan. Hey, how's it going? Do you prefer Dan? Can I say that? Is that okay? Are we there yet?
I say we let him go.
Daniel, he has listed some of his favorite athletes, O.J. Simpson and Seabiscuit.
Oh, gosh.
God. He likes the Talking Heads. And his favorite video games include Grim Fandango and Day of the Tentacle.
Don't know what any of those are.
No, it's legit. Trust me. You can trust this.
Really?
We have some quality people who like us. You know
I
that,
guess
right?
so.
We do. This is good. I like the cut of your jib, man. You're all right.
There's some pretty worthless people, too.
Well, you know.
They stopped listening a long time ago.
They stopped listening long, and they didn't even comment. Like they don't participate.
No.
You know. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. And if you would like us to read your personal information for everybody, for the entire internet to read, you can like us on facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. You can also go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids, where you can subscribe to us. You can look up old episodes of the show. Check us out on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review. It's been a while since we had a new one. We live off of the validation that you provide, you know, in order for us to feel the sense of self-worth and to get out of the bed every 2 weeks to record these shows. But in general, I think you can tell your friends and, you know, just keep on doing what you're doing because we love each and every one of you. All you have to do, if you're off the path, Chris, just step back onto the path. That's in Buddha.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Hey, you know,
but you can drink the Kool-Aid. Good night.
Good night.